Where's Minako?
She's in my room.
I knew that was gonna happen.
She was frightened.
I saw you strip down for that hot tub. I'd be frightened too. We're in trouble here, champ. There's more bad guys than we have bullets.
Take this.
What about you?
Don't worry about me.
Kenner, just in case we get killed, I wanted to tell you, you have the biggest dick I've ever seen on a man.
Thanks. I don't know what to say.
How about don't get killed?
Don't get killed.
Song or nothing, just
we're gonna let it slide this week.
Okay,
it's been a rough week.
Yeah,
it's Easter weekend.
Mm-hmm.
You had way too many peeps yesterday.
Yep,
from what I hear.
Yeah,
came down off that sugar high pretty hard.
Hard
dragging ass all day today.
All day.
You really got into that Game of Thrones is what it was.
Oh yeah,
you came into our Game of Thrones party not knowing anything about the show, just oops, poo-pooing it a little bit, and by the end of it, you were a party animal, just
enthralled,
double fisting peeps in your mouth, and
yep, Nate,
control.
Nate, I had what the French call
les incompétents,
a little too much to drink yesterday.
Oh yeah. It was one of those nights where you start off with an Easter egg hunt.
Yep,
kids out in the yard.
Hell yeah.
You ended asleep on an air conditioning unit in the back of the building behind a dive bar.
Best decision I made all day.
Okay, yeah.
I stand by that one.
We'll have to... We got some security cam footage of that. We'll have to show that to you next time we get a chance.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
The way you walk out the back door of that dive bar with just certainty on your face, like, I know exactly what I'm doing.
This'll
I'm immediately work. Climbing up on this air conditioning unit and going to sleep.
Yeah.
You had a plan.
It felt so good.
You hatched a plan.
It felt so right. Speaking of feeling so good and so right, it's Baby Oil and Blow.
That's where we are.
We're back another week to talk more action movies with you, as always, your hosts. Me, I'm Matt O.
Who are you?
And you, buddy, you're the Kenner to my Johnny. You're Nate Adams.
Okay, yeah. Swedish fucking...
Yeah.
Just tall drink of water. That's what's going on here.
Yeah.
Let me pull up my notes on our... seems I accidentally deleted them at some point. Good thing things don't really get deleted anymore in this age of technology we're living in. Remember back in the 90s when that was a plot point on a lot of things? Like, I just accidentally deleted everything right when I was almost finished with it.
Remember in the 90s when...
the 90s sucked.
Bad guys could... destroy the world with a floppy disk.
Yeah, that happened a lot.
Oh, the contents of this disk will shut down the banks across the world.
Some microfilm and traffic lights are going crazy. Yeah. Red and green. There's crashes everywhere.
Yeah, it was a different time. And this movie is from that time, the movie we're talking about this week. A little showdown in Tokyo Dome.
A little ditty showdown in little Tokyo.
Yeah.
Let's get into this rundown of it. Let's just jump right into this thing.
Just go
there's
right
a lot
for
to
it.
Talk about. This is a very beefy movie. It's going to be a packed episode here.
Talking about Dolph Lundgren's arms?
Mm-hmm. This week, the rundown's brought to us by local heating and cooling company.
Yeah.
I don't know any local ones, but...
Any of them.
Whoever installed that beast of a unit behind the old zombie club.
Yep.
It did us right this weekend.
Hell yeah.
We're running down 1991 Showdown in Little Tokyo. A movie that had an estimated budget of $8 million, Matt. And a movie that
grossed... What'd it bring back, Nate?
Grossed domestically. Now, grant you, this is domestic.
Right.
We don't know what it made worldwide, but $2,275,557.
Caught a wash.
Yeah, I guess it's all coming out even in the end. Mm-hmm. If you're the producers of Showdown in Little Tokyo, the director, quote-unquote, Mark L. Lester, he's a bit of an action movie veteran.
Mm-hmm.
Did the Class of 84 and Class of 99 movies. I like those. I could see us talking about those in the future.
It'd be good.
Most notably, though, Commando.
Commando.
This is a motherfucker who fucking directed Commando, so.
So that's pretty cool.
That's pedigree right there.
Yep.
Guess it didn't do him much for this movie because they fucking butchered his movie, Matt.
Yep.
He took it out of his hands.
Yeah,
I don't know
Warner
if there was
Brothers.
Some sort of ghost director at some point or what.
Yeah.
We got some notable stars here. Very notable. Dolph Lundgren. He's a Swedish genius with an engineering degree.
Mm-hmm.
He's a perfect human specimen. He's fucking Ivan Drago. I mean, everybody knows who he is.
Hell yeah.
He's playing Chris Kenner.
Sergeant.
Yeah.
Chris Kenner.
He's a cop, Matt.
Yeah. Just a cop.
He was raised in Japan, I think.
Correct.
In Japan.
He was raised in Japan.
He knows a lot about Japanese shit. Just
right.
Like a lot. On the other side of the coin there, we got Brandon Lee. You know, Bruce Lee's son. The Crow.
Go, you creep!
He couldn't have stopped.
He was a butt face. I could have made it. What are you supposed to be, a clown or something?
Sometimes.
It's more like surfing than skating. I wish the rain would stop just once.
It can't rain all the time.
Eric?
The motherfucking Crow?
Hell yeah.
He's playing Johnny Murata. He's an Asian kid that grew up in the valley. He don't know shit about Asia,
Matt. Nah, man. Not at all.
I think we're playing that he's Japanese, even though he doesn't look Japanese in the slightest. It was the 90s. If you were Asian, you could play all of them. You could play all of them.
Well, what's Bruce Lee? Is he Chinese?
So are you Chinese or Japanese?
I live in California last 20 years, but first come from Laos.
Huh?
Laos. We Laotian.
The ocean? What ocean?
We are Laotian. From Laos, stupid. It's a landlocked country in Southeast Asia. It's between Vietnam and Thailand, okay? Population, 4.7 million.
So are you Chinese or Japanese?
Oh.
Kerry Hiroyuki Tagawa is playing our bad guy, Yoshida. You know this guy because he was fucking in the perfect
Shaolin
weapon.
Shaolin from Mortal Kombat.
Shang Tsung from Mortal Kombat, but also the fucking
Shang
perfect
Tsung,
weapon.
Whoever.
If you had like a action movie in the 90s and there was some sort of Asian shit going on in it, this guy was pretty fucking
in
it.
Yeah, he was probably in it.
Shang Tsung, man. This is the main bad guy in Mortal Kombat, right? That's like the guy you fight at the end after you fought all the other guys.
Yeah.
That's a pretty cool fucking role to play.
Yeah.
Tagline of this movie. One's a warrior. One's a wise guy. They're two LA cops going after a gang of drug lords.
Hell yeah.
Feet first.
Hell yeah.
I got a plot synopsis here.
All right.
I pulled this one off Letterboxd. I think it's pretty quick and to the point because, you know, this movie has no fucking plot. There's not much synopsizing you need to do right here.
Okay. Go ahead and then
we'll get to it. An American with a Japanese upbringing, Chris Kenner, is a police officer assigned to the Little Tokyo section of Los Angeles. Kenner is partnered with Johnny Murata, a Japanese American who isn't in touch with his roots. Despite their differences, both men excel at martial arts and utilize their formidable skills when they go up against Yoshida, a vicious Yakuza drug dealer with ties to Kenner's past.
Ooh.
And that's about all there is.
Iron Claw.
Okay, yeah. That's pretty cool. You're jumping right there. The Iron Claw is the name of their fucking Yakuza gang.
Yeah.
They've all got, like, cool tattoos with, like, beasts with iron claws all over their chests and shit.
Well, let's just get in there, huh?
Bullet points. This is where we run down all of the bullet points of things we like to talk about the movies that we saw.
Yes.
Things that stuck out at us.
Yes. Here's a great bullet point.
Okay.
They, right off the get-go, established that this Dolph Lundgren, he's not a very good cop.
I don't know, he seemed pretty effective to me. He's busting guys, he's fucking right, everybody in town knows him. He's gotta be doing something right.
Yeah.
What are you talking about, not a good cop?
He's not a dirty cop.
Oh no,
like
he's
takes
heart of gold,
his job
man.
Very seriously, and like you can tell he likes the town he works in, but like he really runs roughshod over these criminals. Like, okay. He's like, look at me, I'm a 7-foot-tall giant.
Yeah, that sounds a lot like
little Asian man.
What he's doing in this movie.
I'm just going to beat the shit out of you.
That's his American accent, exactly.
Yeah.
I think that goes hand in hand with the whole there's not a plot to this movie thing. There's literally just, there's two cops, and there's Yakuza, and they fight each other for the whole movie.
Yeah. Well, it's grounded in reality. You see.
Would have been nice to get like a scene or two maybe of like a stereotypical pissed off 80s police chief who's just like, look at all the destruction you're causing. You're going in feet first.
Okay.
You're kicking first and asking questions later.
Let's,
my man.
Let's circle back here, friend.
Okay.
As you stated, Mr. Lester had the film taken away from him by the fine people at Warner Brothers.
At least in the editing room. I don't know if they'd completely soured during shooting, but during the editing process, from what I hear, his was like 90 minutes. They cut this shit down to like a brisk 79.
Yeah, like...
This is a short movie, my
friend.
It was
very short. There were scenes in which he and... There were... I guess there was an original scene where they show one of his partners before... Brandon
some
Lee.
Backstory.
So you get a little backstory there.
We hear them both say that they've had some trouble with partners in the past. Neither of them get along with other people all that well.
There's one scene where they haul a guy into the station and they kind of get browbeat for 5 seconds by Nelson, I think. Commander Nelson.
Ooh, Commander Nelson.
Detective.
Yeah, that sounds good to me. I'd like to see a little more Commander Nelson.
From what I understand, he was supposed to have a larger part.
Yeah, because it's just really not explained how these guys are able to just, like, shoot machine guns and, like, fight hundreds of people and destroy the whole town. And just, like, is anybody going to take their badges away?
Yeah, there was supposed to be a scene.
A slap on the wrist?
I think...
Isn't the mayor breathing down anyone's neck right now?
Yeah, when they go and, like, I think it's when they fuck up that club...
Oh, boy, do they fuck up that club.
I think that's when they get called into the office.
That club?
They're supposed to get yelled
at. In the 90s that has, like, a woman in a sequined gown just doing solo singing as if it's, like, a club from the 1940s. What the fuck's going on there? That was a lame... Nobody's going to clubs like that in the 90s.
Yeah.
That's not fucking real.
Plus, every woman in that club...
Where was the DJ?
Every woman in that club was there for sexual purposes. Except for her. They're like, no, you get to be a real
person.
Well,
there was those two girls who were doing legitimate topless sumo wrestling. I wouldn't say that was sexual purposes right there. That's just a sporting event.
Apparently you didn't see how rock hard I was during that scene.
Oh, that's disgusting. You take something that's just about healthy competition and turn it gross.
Two beefy topless women.
In diapers.
Slapping into each other.
Yeah, I figured that was going to get a rise out of you.
It did a lot for me, buddy.
But yeah, pacing, that's definitely one of my bullet points. Apparently, the guy they brought in, his name is Michael Elliott. He edited down Lester's cut of the movie, and he's also the same guy the same year. This is a little trivia point for you. They brought him in to do the same thing to Steven Seagal's Out for Justice,
that's
my friend. Another movie they were like, this movie sucks. We gotta just cut it down to bare bones, fucking dump it on DVD. It's over. Let's just get past it.
This is 91. This was
get
straight
out there,
to VHS,
let's get past
pal.
It. Oh, yeah, that's true.
Fucking, yeah.
Ooh, it's just probably nobody even saw that shit in widescreen, played on like 100 theaters or something. Everybody else, first time they saw it. I know the first time I saw that shit, pan and scan, brother. Pan and scan VHS.
I'll have to check my original VHS copy of this film I have at home.
Oh, you got that thing frozen in carbonite?
Yeah, hell yeah. You know,
it's a real collector's item. You did roll into this movie.
I collect the works of Dolph Lundgren.
Just a little bit of a spoiler, saying that this is a childhood favorite of yours.
Correct.
Conversely, this is a movie that I had seen as a child and remember liking, but haven't seen since and barely remembered it going into this screening.
I tell you one thing that I didn't remember, and apparently, I don't know why, it should have been the first thing I remembered. There's titties all over this movie, Nate.
Yeah, definitely. Boobs was one of my bullet points, especially, let's not bury the lead here, we get to see some amazing side boob from Wayne's World actress Tia Carrera.
Hell yeah. When you get ass, and you even get a little bush.
She plays like, that like hint of like the top quarter of the bush we got a little bit. Like, I was spying with my eyes.
Hell yeah.
I was very happy to. She's getting in hot tubs with Dolph Lundgren. They're banging.
Mm-hmm.
See, there is a little bit of a story here, I guess. The Yakuza is also trying to kill this girl.
Yeah, so the singing girl.
They have to fight the Yakuza, and there's a princess to be saved. So
yeah,
it's as much as like a Mario game, like the original Nintendo Mario game has a story, so does this movie then, I guess.
Correct, yeah.
So yeah, she gets banged in a hot tub. She gets banged in Dolph Lundgren's little like Japanese-inspired house. Yeah. She's got a weird line where she tells him, "That time I heard you coming," after giggling really weird. I'm like, "Heard you coming?
Yeah.
What the fuck are you talking about?"
Well, earlier in the film, you're not paying attention, man. It's so much subtlety in this film. Earlier, he rescues her from Carrie, whatever's house.
Oh, it's a play on words.
Yeah, after he's done raping her.
Yeah.
And Dolph Lundgren saves her from killing herself on account of the rape.
So she's raped, instantly moves into Dolph Lundgren's house, and then they just start banging.
Yeah.
Because raped chicks, they're fucking down to fuck.
I guess
immediately afterwards.
That's what Mark Lester wants us to think.
Yeah, it's like when like a bear gets a taste of human blood, and then they're just a human killer.
Yeah.
You rape a chick, she becomes a nympho. That's just science right there.
There's no long-lasting negative effects.
Oh, no, definitely. Especially, like, you're chilling out in, like, a remote cabin. That's just fun.
Oh, man, could you imagine if they tried to put that out today in 2019?
Ooh, there'd be protesting outside of... Well, I mean, they didn't even go into theaters back then, so I guess maybe there would be nothing to protest outside
of. That's true. Never mind.
Maybe you could just sneak it past people.
Maybe.
Put it up on Crackle. I'd watch it.
Netflix, yeah. Or Crackle, yeah, not even Netflix.
Oh, yeah, Netflix ain't touching anything like this.
So, yeah, when she was in Dolph Lundgren's original apartment, and he's like, "If anybody comes in here, you shoot them.
What if it's you?
You won't hear
me. That's my Tinker impression.
You won't hear me coming."
And then it's true. She doesn't. She's sitting on the couch in a bathrobe, fucking just holding the shotgun for hours, I guess. She's in the same spot. And he sneaks in and snatches it out of her hands before she knew he was there.
Yeah.
So that was like, when I heard that time I heard you coming, I didn't get that we were playing on words. I'm just like, did they fuck once off screen already and he was super quiet during the orgasm?
No.
Is that another scene that got
cut? She's just clever.
It's a joke. I get it now. I'm happy that you explained it to
me. You know, you can tell. She's it's not just all physical. She's starting to feel old Sergeant Kenner here.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean,
she's got some feelings.
He's got a lot going on. I'm going to get into another bullet point I want to talk about here, which is the 1991 fashion in this movie.
Okay.
Dolph Lundgren in particular looks pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
Because the whole movie is wearing, like, I think they might even be satin parachute pants.
Yep, they're cool.
Just, like, cinched at the waist with, like, a thick belt.
Yep.
And then, like, generally a black tank top tucked into those.
Yep.
And then a bitchin', like, motorcycle leather jacket with, like, a fucking Japanese flag sunburst on the back, which just looks cool as fuck.
Yeah.
Like, generally, like, he's just dressed like if you were to let an 8-year-old dress themselves.
Right.
They could wear whatever they want. That's what he's got going on.
Hell yeah.
Everybody else wearing those terrible, just square, boxy 90s suits.
Yeah.
With, like, real wild patterned shirts under them.
They look pretty cool, too.
Yeah, we got, like, wine-colored ones, like, weird green-colored ones, fucking... Oh, Brandon Lee's rocking these things like the whole fucking movie. He's got to look like a dork, unfortunately.
Nice wine-colored suit like that in the early 90s
I was going to say, what'd you wear that to?
Kevin Gubitz's bar mitzvah.
Oh, you dressed up for that. That's classy.
Oh, you have to.
I like to hear that.
It's a big deal. It's a big deal, those things.
Yeah, so you got this man stomping around in satin parachute pants and a ripped-as-shit black... just under a black tank top. He's yoked in this movie, man.
Yeah.
Fucking, when he grabs that fucking Yakuza guy by the neck when they're interrogating him in the police station,
and
you just see all those veins, and
right.
He's like...
He's vascular,
he's going to destroy his throat, man.
He's vascular, bro.
He's looking good. If I was Tia Carrera, I'd be catching feelings, too, if you know what I'm saying.
Let's talk about that then real quick. Back to the titties real quick.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Tia Carrera, when they kidnap her for the third or fifth time at the end of the movie.
Sure.
And they're running all the time. And
she gets away
a
lot. She's very slippery.
She's just wearing some of Dolph Lundgren's clothes. And she's got like a wife beater on. And she's just got those Lucys under there.
Oh, yeah.
And she's just running and they're just flopping everywhere.
That's definitely one of the best scenes of this movie.
That's pretty cool, huh?
She looked pretty yoked, too. Like, there was a lot of muscle mass going on in her legs.
And that's what I really want to get to is gratuitous muscles, mm-hmm. not just boobs mm-hmm. everywhere.
No, yeah.
They were like, hey,
boobs
hold on.
And biceps.
Hold on, ladies.
Two staples of the fucking action genre. I love them both. There's you got to get them in there.
There's a nice scene, you know, towards the end there when they're torturing our heroes, Kenner and Johnny.
Oh, yeah. The Yakuza's got them. They got them tied up and they're just shocking the shit out of them.
And it's just
like Lethal Weapon style.
There's really no purpose to that scene because there's no information that they need to get out of them.
No, no.
It's literally just so you could be like,
Yoshida's sadistic, man.
No, no, no. The whole point of the scene was, check out the abs on Lundgren and Lee, huh?
Yeah, that's pretty cool. You like, get these fucking real hunky beefcakes.
They're both just shredded.
Get them all like sweaty.
Their arms
take
over
their
heads.
Tops off.
They're like, oh, you're getting electrocuted, so, oh, you flex ooh, your abs real hard.
More fucking sweat just trickling down that six-pack.
Yeah, this, man, this might be the most cut Dolph Lundgren ever was.
I mean, I'm going to have to go back through his career, because he's a man whose early works haven't seen since I was a kid, so, like, I remember him being huge in Red Scorpion, man.
Yeah, but I mean, like,
I think he probably was a little bit less mass when he's doing the Rocky fucking shit.
Yeah, he's not as big as Drago. Mm-hmm. Even when he was He-Man, he wasn't even this big.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. I don't remember his physique being definitely his cut in the Masters of the Universe movie.
Yeah, excuse me. Masters of the Universe.
That's not a good movie right there.
Frank Langella.
I mean, yeah, he's fucking great as Skeletor, but hell the yeah. rest of the movie around him, pretty fucking bad, dude.
Yeah, that's fair.
Here, though, I mean, I'm saying Dolph doing a pretty good job. Mm-hmm. He's famously just like, you know, stilted and robotic, but I feel like he kind of had the accent down in 1991. He was mm-hmm. selling mm-hmm. just being like a average American Joe Sixpack pretty good. He did not sound as much like a foreign fucking mutant as even Schwarzenegger does today.
Well, that's fair.
And he's only a couple years into this fucking acting gig at this point.
Yeah.
Dolph Lundgren, underrated maybe in every way.
You know,
probably
you know
the perfect human being.
You know my feelings on Dolph Lundgren.
Yeah, much like Tia Carrera is just fucking catching some serious feelings about this guy.
I love him. I've always loved this guy.
Lundgren, I'm going to say, takes the movie as far as acting. Another one of my bullet points, though, is, whoo, we got some bad acting coming out of the other main characters here.
Yeah.
Mainly Tia Carrera, who's doesn't even like register as a real human being when she's talking.
No.
And Brandon Lee, who's overacting literally like every syllable of every sentence that he fucking says here.
He's pretty cool.
It's just like a lot of just mugging.
Yeah.
He's more mugging than he is acting. A lot of like shoulder shrugs and grins after he like quips.
The little lady watched this one with me.
Mm-hmm.
And she, by the way, was the one to point out the little bit of bush from Tia Carrera.
Oh, good eye.
And, one of her main observations was while watching Brandon Lee perform,
mm-hmm.
he's like a cartoon.
I agree wholeheartedly. I said, is he playing The Mask? And then I was like, no, this came before
Smoking.
The Mask. So then I was like, did Jim Carrey rip The Mask off of Brandon Lee in Showdown in Little Tokyo? Especially he's wearing those outrageous fucking 90s suits too. Like, he's got a pretty prominent chin.
I mean,
you paint his face green, he looks like the fucking Mask in this movie.
I'm going to have to check some of those media pressers from when The Mask came out and see if, because, you know, somebody had to have been like, oh, so like, you're inspired by like the old Tex Avery style cartoons and everything? And he's like, no, actually, I took a lot of my performance from Brandon Lee's performance in Showdown in
Actually,
Little
I've
Tokyo.
Never even heard of these cartoons you mentioned. Is this a thing
Chuck
that
Jones,
people like?
Tex Avery. I don't know who those are. No, I'm Canadian. We don't have that.
Some really genius work going on in 1991 action movies, though.
Yeah.
That one scene. Going back to Tia Carrera, where she finds out that her blonde friend, her friend's
Angel.
The blonde with the big tits from the movie The Stoned Age.
Oh, man. And major credit for a film that has a topless beheading in
it. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like,
that's
come
my
on.
Scene of the fucking movie.
Yeah.
Yoshida fucking gets this girl, sultry, dragging a knife all across her skin, slowly cutting all her clothes, gets her fucking topless. And then when she's just about ready to peak, man, you can tell this girl's got a white on. Well, also, she's smoked a lot of ice at this point, so she's pretty zoned out. Fucking just decapitates her with a sword.
There it is, right there.
You guys suck. You
no, you suck on your pipe every day.
You know what, lady? Put your words in your mouth.
What?
I'm not smoking, though.
Icehead, lolly, lolly.
Badass, but then, you know, her best friend Tia Carrera finds out about it and she's got to cry on camera. And I'm like, did Tia Carrera become a much better actress a few years from here? Or did they just never ask her to cry on camera like ever again or do anything like remotely emotional? I remember like being pretty good in True Lies.
Yeah, as the bad guy.
Yeah, she's never like weird or out of place in Wayne's World.
No, no.
Speaking of, like, she sings both in Wayne's World and in this.
Ooh, why you wanna break my heart?
And let's be like a thing she was trying to do. Like, also, I sing if you guys want to work it into the script,
hold on, buddy. She started taking singing lessons around the age of like 11.
Really?
And she went to a school in Hawaii that was like, for, you know, we're going to turn your children into celebrities.
Real,
just kind
like
of schools.
Fucking sex slave factory.
Yeah. Yeah, and so she was a singer.
We're going to send them to Nashville. They're going to get touched up by creepy old fucking hillbilly men.
She was discovered in Hawaii while somebody was filming something down there.
Yeah.
And they're like, ooh, you want to be in a movie? And she's like, okay.
Probably
but
one of
like,
those like Full House episodes where they go on vacation.
Excuse me. I talked to the band. This one's for you and for Elvis. Rock and blue your heart out, baby.
But the band knows the song?
I'm still a singer, though, first and foremost.
Right, right. I'll be in this movie, but you're gonna want to hear me sing. Yeah, we're gonna... So. That was my theory, that she's got to be, like, pushing it hard. Like, you got to write it, because when she's got Crucial Taunt back in her, I'm pretty impressed in Wayne's World.
Hell yeah.
This movie, where she's just on stage in a gown, very pitchy, Matt. Yeah. Very pitchy. To hear that she's been taking lessons since 11, I'm a little taken aback by that.
With a slow hand.
That's what she's singing. Also, what a fucking dumb song to be singing as like this sultry femme fatale character in a fucking 40s style nightclub.
There's a lot of questionable music.
There should have been way more fucking cool heavy metal songs in this.
Or just some of that fucking classic Lethal Weapon, saxophone.
Instead, we're just
90s
getting a lot of just like. Still feels pretty 80s, corny, little synthy stuff. There's a lot of like just like Asian, like,
there's a lot of
racist,
that.
Terrible crap.
One of the most offensive ones was during the lovemaking scene.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I'm pretty sure they just played Kurt Van Houten's Can I Borrow a Feeling? It was like, what is the song they're playing?
Well, it was like you said, though, there was a strong emotional connection between these two people who had met literally half a day earlier. So
you gotta
get super sassy with the patented early 90s slow-mo lovemaking scene.
They're this big scene you've been waiting for.
Oh, yeah.
Because they've known each other
you've been
for
waiting for
half
for
a day, and she's coming off a very dramatic...
The last 6 minutes
dramatic experience.
Of this very rapidly paced fucking film. They really milked that drama around the will they, won't they.
Yeah, yeah.
Some cool 90s action movie tropes going on in here that I really liked. Just stuff you saw all the time. One of them, the little like scenario where a small town shop owner's getting fucking roughed up by some hooligan like gangster types around. So then the good guy protects them and helps them out by destroying their entire business while fighting the guys who are pushing. Man, there's not a fucking square inch of this little like noodle shop or whatever he's hanging out in that does not get destroyed as Dolph Lundgren helps out this old lady by fucking fighting Yakuza guys in there. It gets shot up with machine guns. He breaks every stick of furniture over somebody's head.
Yep.
Like, it's just thanks a pant load, buddy.
One big window in the front of the building, which he promptly throws somebody through.
First thing he does is just fucking old style, old Western movie.
Yeah.
Throw somebody through that plate glass window.
Yeah.
Loving it right there. That's when he gets his meet cute with Brandon Lee, who's walking down the street and is like, somebody's been thrown through a window. I should see. And then they have the classic, like, good guy and good guy meet for the first time and fight each other because there's a misunderstanding.
You're a bad guy. Yeah.
It's pretty cool. I wish we would have got this. Only lasts for a couple seconds. I would have liked to see these guys
like,
square off against each other more. There should have been more of like a The Rock and Vin Diesel, like, nose-to-nose quality with them, I think.
Yeah.
There's a lot of banter, because boy, does Brandon Lee love to fucking banter in this movie.
Oh, he loves bantering.
I want some fucking, like, physical shit, though. Like, a lot of just, like, squaring up, a lot of huffing and puffing. Just taste the testosterone, you know what I'm saying?
Hell yeah, dog.
Speaking of the testosterone, another awesome action movie trope I love is the near-naked fight in a bathhouse scene, which happens in a lot of fucking movies. We get a great one here. Where just Brandon Lee and Dolph Lundgren and like 100 fucking naked Japanese dudes in little fucking diapers just beating the shit out of each other in a hot springs.
Yeah, I loved it.
Pretty cool, like the scene where the guy takes the fire hose kind of that's hanging next to like the pool or whatever and starts spraying Dolph Lundgren in like a cartoon. He's like getting knocked over and stuff. Oh, wow.
We got a winner! Oh, Joe Miller. You just found the marble in the oatmeal. You're a lucky, lucky, lucky little boy, because you know why? You get to drink from the fire hose!
That Cary Tagawa, or I can't remember his name.
Sure. Shang Tsung.
He's really great in this movie.
Oh, man. He's got a cool fucking like scar down all one side of his face. The backstory. This is our backstory.
Oh, yeah.
Turns out he killed Dolph Lundgren's parents in their bed.
Yep.
Just chopped him up with a sword. There's fucking blood everywhere. That was another. The beheading was fucking cool. Him just beating the hell out of these fucking people in bed with a sword and blood flies everywhere. Anytime you get a fucking sword in Shang Tsung's hand, shit pops off in this movie and it gets real good real quick. Yeah. So then like young Dolph Lundgren walks in and he's like, oh, what are you doing? Don't kill my parents.
Those are my parents. Why are you doing that?
Now it was quick edit. I couldn't really tell. Somehow he like causes the big scar on fucking Shang Tsung's
face. Yeah, because he's like, oh, those are my parents. And Shang Tsung's like, yeah, I'm going to fucking kill you too, kid. And he,
rightly so.
Dolph Lundgren quickly like grabs something and hits Yoshida's sword back into his
face.
Yeah,
that's what I kind of just like, did he just like knock his sword into his face?
Yeah, that's what
happened.
For
being a badass martial artist, you let a little fucking kid knock your own sword into your face? That's pretty fucking weak sauce right there.
Well, you're not, again, you're just not paying attention to the subtle writing in this movie here. Didn't you listen?
Have you read the script? How did they block this out in the scene? Mark Lester's script.
You got to put some pieces together here. When they're in the car, Brandon Lee and Dolph Lundgren, and he's telling Dolph's telling Brandon about growing up in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And Brandon Lee's like, oh, my mom wanted me to do that gay flower shit.
Yeah.
But I wasn't going to do that.
Brandon Lee says a lot of offensive stuff in this movie.
Yeah.
He's always just like the one who's just being like, look at that chick fucking hot. Yeah. Or just like,
I wanna fuck that chick.
I fucking hate gay stuff.
Yeah.
It's weird because you think of him as just being like Bruce Lee's stoic, the crow fucking son shit going on. Very quiet, very. No, not in this movie.
Not in this, not at all.
He's a fucking wild man.
So he's like, do you have to do that flower shit? And Dolph Lundgren's like, you have to do everything. If you don't do everything, you're not prepared or some
Very wise.
And he's like, you know, then you can be defeated.
Oh, yeah.
So clearly, like, Yoshida, he wasn't doing everything. He wasn't well-rounded.
That's true, yeah.
You know, that's how he
let a
little kid.
He's not doing any gay shit either. He's just like feeding like strippers ice or just like, you know, selling drugs to kids.
Dolph Lundgren's like, you're not a sacred warrior if you don't have honor. And clearly this man has no honor.
No. Dolph Lundgren none. No, tons of honor. That's why he's just fucking just, you know,
shoot
killing
people.
Everyone all over
asking
fucking
questions
town.
Later.
All over fucking town.
They killed a lot of people. 58 I believe was the body count.
I was going to guess like probably at least like 40 something had to have died by the time these fucking
58.
Credits rolled.
It's man, it gets it right in a lot of action ways. There's fist fighting everywhere and a lot of cool like showdown stages like, hey, like there's the big shoot 'em up here.
It kind of just felt like playing a video game. Like, oh, now they're going to fight in the next stage. Now they're going to fight. What we didn't have is like an objective the bad guys were trying to do, like a plan. And like the good guys are like, oh, we have to stop this plan from happening in the climax of the movie or we'll all be doomed. It's just like, no, these guys are around and they're bad. We're going to fight them. And then we're going to fight them again. And then we're going to fight them again. And then there's going to be a big final fight.
Look, Dolph Lundgren lifts up a car.
Okay, this is immediately the first scene. There's an illegal fight going on in a ring in a warehouse. And Dolph Lundgren swings down on a rope from the roof into the middle of this fucking ring to like break this thing up. It's corny as hell. And then like a big shootout happens. The two warring factions of the Yakuza or whatever. And the main guys, the Iron Claw guys, they try to run down Dolph in a convertible.
Oh, hell yeah.
He does a jump kick and jump kicks over the entire fucking, like, stretch-ass fucking convertible.
Which was awesome.
So immediately you just know, like, okay, this movie's goofy as fuck. Like, the action's gonna be silly. Like, there's nothing you gotta pay attention to hard here. Like, we're not looking at anything seriously.
No.
They set the tone very fucking early. This is a goofball fucking movie. But then conversely, like, you get that cartoony action, but then you get some violent fucking, like, parents chopped up in front of a little kid. Like, that's the most traumatic shit since, like, Aunt Beru and Uncle Owen smoking skeletons or nonsensically is just so brutal in Star Wars.
Yeah.
And then the rest of it's just, like, little puppets farting and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We got conflicting tones going on.
You also get a hand cut off by a sword.
Oh, when does that happen?
When he brings in all the different gangs to be like, this is the drugs you're selling from now on.
Oh, okay, okay.
And the racist biker guys are like, fuck you, man. Mm-hmm, like, we ain't selling no shit.
Yeah.
And then he's like, oh, okay, well, now you have one hand to wipe your ass with. And they're like, oh, okay, we'll sell your drugs. And then when this Asian dude is his lackey fails him.
Here we go. This is, I wanted to get to this.
Go ahead.
Well, I'm just saying, like, with it, I remember liking this movie when I was a kid, but I don't remember much about it. But the one scene is fucking burned into my mind that I thought was fucking crazy cool, where this lackey fails. He doesn't fucking, you know.
He lets Tia Carrera.
Yeah, Tia Carrera gets away for the fourth time.
By Dolph Lundgren.
So he comes in, and as an apology, he cuts off his own fucking finger with a knife.
I have dishonored you for the improper guarding of your house. Please accept my apologies.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, that's fucking badass. That guy just chopped off his own fucking finger.
Yeah.
And I always remember that. And I think it was pretty much implanted in my head like, man, the Yakuza's fucking cool.
Yeah.
I was Japanese, so I could fucking join the Yakuza. Yeah. People chopping off their own fingers and shit. That one guy, when he gets caught at the beginning, they take him to the police station. He's not going to give up fucking Yoshida and the rest of the Iron Claw. So he rips off his shirt. Shows all his fucking cool-ass Yakuza tattoos, does like a weird, like, psyching himself up thing, where it looks like he's gonna start meditating or whatever, but then he just fucking breaks his own neck. That's pretty cool. I didn't remember that at all. Dude breaking his own neck.
Yeah.
You need more of that in movies these days.
Dude. And then explosions. A lot of explosions.
Oh, yeah, they blow. This is the $8 million, like, they spent it well, because they destroyed a lot of shit in this movie. It looked mainstream. It looked like something that should have been in the theaters. People would have ate it up. I don't know why they thought they had to bury this fucking thing.
You gotta assume they didn't pay a lot to the talent in this movie.
Yeah, I mean, Dolph, you know.
I mean, Dolph was...
He's their bankable star. Brandon Lee's done fucking nothing.
Yeah, this
Tia
is like
Carrera's
his first
done fucking
American
nothing.
Film.
They're probably, you know, Dolph's basically the only white guy in this movie that has a speaking role. You know they're paying white people more than they're paying fucking Asians in the
90s. 1991, come
probably
on.
Paying all these fucking people nothing.
No, not a lot.
I'm sure their paychecks were very racist.
So I'm sure like the majority of that budget just went to the explosions. And it shows.
Why would you put the budget towards anything else?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the final fight. This is my final bullet point here.
Yeah.
It's fucking cool as hell.
Hell yeah.
Like the great climax. First off, it starts with an awesome gearing up for the final fight montage.
Yeah.
And at this point, Dolph's fucking ditched his normal cool as shit fucking outfit.
Yeah.
And now he's wearing a full on ridiculous samurai outfit.
Well, hold on.
And he's hitting heavy bags.
Hold on. But this happens because they get away. They were thought to be dead, but they survive. And,
because fucking when they're tied up and getting electrocuted, Dolph just fucking Rambos his hand out of the fucking restraints and then, like, grabs the fucking dude torturing him and just starts slamming his head against, like, a fucking, you know, the other rig.
Yeah.
We got old Brandon Lee. So Brandon Lee's getting shocked. Torturer guy's getting shocked.
Yeah.
Dolph Lundgren's just like, this is a cool fucking scene. That's how they get away for like the fourth time. These Yakuza guys, they get their hands on you.
Well, no,
they turn their backs.
They get captured immediately again after that in the car.
Yeah.
And then they get smashed.
Oh, yeah, and they get
and then they're
smashed
supposed to get
in the fucking
into the
junkyard.
Chipper. Yeah, it was devastating, like that scene in A Brave Little Toaster. I got sad.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen that. Is that an action movie?
Oh, yeah, you'd love it, man. So they get out.
Put it on the list, and we'll talk about it later.
And Brandon Lee's like, should we go save Tia Carrera? Because, like, they just kidnapped her again, and they're just going to keep raping her.
Yeah.
And
I know that you banged her, too. You want to go get her? Are you, like, attached to that?
Yeah.
Do you want to be the only person banging her now, or what?
And Dolph Lundgren's like, let's let him think we're dead for a little while.
Uh-huh. So I can.
But it turns out, like,
so I can do a training montage.
Really, like, you assume, like, they're going to lay low for a couple days, but, like, a little while meant like literally a little while, like 30 minutes while he did some karate and put on his karate master outfit.
And probably while Brandon Lee sat in the corner and fucking jerked off because like half his fucking dialogue is just about like how fucking sexy Dolph is.
Yeah.
How big his fucking dick looks.
Yeah.
How big his fucking muscles look.
The original line was supposed to be, you've got the biggest dick I've ever seen on a white man.
Yeah.
But then the studio edited
changed
it
to a biggest dick on a man.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a weird line. Like, have you seen a bigger dick on a lady?
Cause
that's a story I want to hear about.
Hell yeah.
You can't just drop that and then not tell the story.
They worked it out. They edited it out where Johnny Murata's banging shingles entire film.
That's a good subplot. That could have been that extra like fucking 12 minutes we lost or whatever.
Absolutely.
But a lot of homoeroticism going on in 90s and 80s action movies. And this is maybe one of the most homoerotic I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Even without, like, any sort of scenes of sexual tension between the two main guys. Like, I never thought they were going to bang. I was always just like, they'd probably like to watch each other, like, bang chicks and then jerk off a lot.
Yeah.
Like, maybe, like,
hey, you want a same
touch
room?
Each other
you want
a little
same
bit
room these two chicks?
Yeah, that's the sort of stuff's going. That's the sort of stuff I see these guys going.
Hell yeah.
Which is not as cool as last week's firepower duo of LA cops who were just like, I'm going to fucking bang anything. It's all I care about. I'm into
Fuck
the weirdest
yeah.
shit. But at least they're breaking through boundaries.
Yeah, hell yeah.
They're
hell
a little
yeah.
progressive here
hell
in
yeah.
little Tokyo.
Hell yeah. So the final battle.
The final battle, there's two cool fucking deaths because Dolph's the big star. He's our bankable thing. So he's got to kill the main guy. But, you know, we also got his partner in this. We got an old fucking Brandon Lee. So he's got to fucking beat the 1A, the right-hand man who's this like squat fucking bald dude.
He's the right-hand man to Shredder in Teenage Mutant
yeah,
Ninja
yeah,
Turtles.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. He's good second banana.
Yeah.
So they're in this like brewery and they're fighting up in the scaffolding and there's a real fucking cool death where you know, fucking, you got the big fucking tubs of beer mash going on.
Yeah.
You're brewing beer. His fucking Joker style, he gets fucking kicked off a fucking, you know, big catwalk and falls into that screaming. And then Brandon Lee's like, now it's fucking over for you, man. Lights a fucking lighter, throws it in there. For some reason, this beer is extremely fucking flammable.
Extremely.
This is rocket fuel. They're fucking...
Hell yeah.
Because the whole place explodes. There's just fireballs everywhere. Just,
yeah,
you
once
can
the
see
one
it for
vat
miles
goes up,
around.
Every
like,
other vat goes
fireball,
up.
Fireball. Fireball. There's explosions everywhere. Luckily, Brandon Lee got out. I mean, whew, he must have been quick running away from that shit.
Yeah.
And that's a cool fucking death. But it pales in comparison to the final fucking death we get.
Yes.
I mean... Did you explain this to me a little bit? What goes on here?
It
starts with Dolph and Shang Tsung sword fighting in the middle of a crowded street.
All right, so what happens is he finally gets to Tia Carrere. Yoshida's got her tied up to a gas pump that's pouring out gas. Left a trail of gas.
There's gas everywhere.
And he's like, Dolph, you come any closer, I'm going to shoot the gas. And she's going to die. And he's like, oh, don't do that. And so, like, he's like, oh, fuck it, I did it. And then runs away, but he manages to untie her before the gas goes off.
Once again, all their plans just falling apart.
But then it goes right off, and we get that sweet, sweet Tia Carrere's loose boobies jiggling as she runs.
Second best part of the movie after that topless decapitation.
So they keep chasing.
And the bush, maybe. That was probably third best.
They just keep chasing after Yoshida on foot, just several feet away from these huge, massive explosions. They're in downtown Little Tokyo now, where there's a big parade going on, and no one's noticed the explosions, like, two doors over, you know?
Oh, yeah, sure.
So they're running, they're weaving through the parade, like, kind of shooting at each other.
So this is how they get to the giant firework pinwheel where the actual final showdown takes place. Okay.
So
connecting the dots.
We get the big final showdown, like, a gun gets brought into it or whatever. Somebody shoots at somebody.
Okay, I want to add in here, too. At this point, Dolph Lundgren has been shot with a gun in the heart.
Yeah.
And he's still just walking around like sword fighting with a fucking gun wound in his heart.
So, yeah, that's what happens here. Yoshida's finally like, fuck it, I'm going to shoot this guy in the middle of this parade. And he does, and he takes one in the chest, and everybody's like, holy shit, like, what the fuck's going on here?
At this point, I'm loving this movie.
And instead of, like, everybody running for the hills, they all circle around Dolph and Yoshida.
Yeah.
And they're
fight.
Like,
it's a cool fucking fight. You watch the fight.
So Dolph's like, hey, fuck the guns, man. You say you got honor? Like, let's do this like men.
All about honor.
And he steals a sword off of a guy on a horse in the parade. And then Yoshida does the same. And then for 2 weeks in a row now, we get epic sword fighting.
Yeah, that's... this is pretty fun. Like, we're not watching martial arts movies strictly, but we've got some sword fighting in both of them.
Neither one of these guys was the swordsman, by the way. Not quite as good.
If the swordsman was out there, he would have fucking skewered both these guys fucking shish kebab style.
So, yeah, they have this big sword fight in the middle of the road with everybody watching, and lay it on us how he gets killed.
So, Dolph Lundgren, after taking a bullet to the heart and then probably, like, six or seven full-on slashes with a ninja sword.
Right.
Is still going. He's not dead.
Nope.
He hasn't lost any limbs. Man, it's just, his muscles must be just made out of fucking iron. Just iron cable. He sticks his sword through Shang Tsung's chest all the way through, fucking spikes him. And was he, does he throw him? Is this how it goes?
Yeah, I think he, like, kicks him or throws him.
Yeah, out of the way. He uses his extreme strength to launch this guy, like, 20 feet in the air. Where the sword that's through his chest then sticks in the middle of this big pinwheel firework thing that's been set up for the parade. And then this starts going, and he's spinning, and there's fireworks going everywhere as he's screaming and bleeding everywhere with the sword through his chest. And then all that gas is still around, so the gas starts going up with the fireworks.
Yep.
And then this pinwheel he's stuck to just explodes in a giant fucking fireball. And he's roasted alive while dying with the sword through him and screaming. And it's one of the coolest fucking bad guy endings I've seen in a long goddamn time.
Which leads me to my final note here. Those people watched a murder.
And we're loving it. It's fucking Little Tokyo, man. These people, they come from Tokyo, probably, most of them, where there's Yakuza everywhere. This is just like a normal Tuesday. They're probably seeing this shit all the time.
Yeah. Oh, a quick little rapid fire here.
I got a couple. I got a couple rapid fires.
Is that what we're calling it? What do we decide?
Rapid
quick
fire.
Quick shots, rapid fire?
Either way.
Rapid fire. I gave a lot of credit to Tia Carrere's jiggling running. Other side of that coin, Dolph Lundgren's really bad at running.
Oh, he's too huge. His limbs are too long.
It shows.
Too much man to move around.
Like, he just doesn't know what to do with his arms when he's running. And it's just like, like, he, like, kind of crouches when he runs. It's really weird. It's really weird.
It's too much Swede.
Yep. You got one?
Oh, I got a couple here.
Light them up.
Some of them we've covered, but I'll talk about a little bit. Just shout out to the opening credits scene where it's just there's a ripped to shit guy with dragons tattooed all over him, just flexing.
Yeah,
that's just the opening credits, just shots of that. It's pretty, sets the tone. Fucking
absolutely.
Like, ooh, there's gonna be a lot of man meat.
I know
in this
what
movie.
We're getting into here.
A lot of man meat, and I love it. Another fucking '90s thing that I love that's in every fucking movie where there's any sort of Asian bad guy. A scene where people are eating sushi off of naked women.
Hell yeah.
We get that going on in the club where Tia Carrera gets to sing totally clothed for some reason, while other women have to be topless while they sumo wrestle, or completely naked while men eat sushi off of them.
Mm-hmm.
Eating sushi off naked women. Greatest fucking 90s thing. There's an Al Long sighting in this. So, you know, anytime famous character actor, guy who eats the candy bar in Die Hard, if you're watching an 80s action movie, he's probably going to be in it. If you're seeing an 80s action movie that's got some sort of Asian shit in it, he's definitely going to be in it.
And where was he in this?
He's just running around as one of the fucking, the guys, the Yakuza guys.
Oh, was he?
Doesn't get any lines, nothing cool to do, but his mustache is looking huge and awesome. Little sighting there. That's about it. I just wanted to shout out a fucking character actor action legend. Those are all my rapid fires.
My last rapid fire was they shaved 13 seconds off of this film to keep the R rating and dodge the NC-17 rating.
Oh, man, I'd love to see that NC-17 cut.
Bam.
All right, let's take a little break here, and we're going to preview what's coming up next week, and then we'll come back for our final segment, Judgment Day.
He's been away for 8 years. Now, he's coming home.
Speaking for myself, I'd like to say that the whole experience has made a better man, a better officer, and a better American out of me. Thank you very much.
But the world has changed.
I've been with another man. You don't remember me, do you?
And he's changed, too.
Pull it up in the air like you're going to take me clear on up to the ceiling.
All right.
Now higher, man, higher, till you hear the bones starting to crack. That's it. Higher! Come on, higher! Higher!
I gotta go now.
What do you expect me to do? Just drop everything? What is wrong with you?
You're driving too slow.
It's gonna take some time to readjust.
Charlie! Ah!
Shut up!
Your husband, he's got a whole bag of silver dollars, and if I don't get him, he's gonna die.
No, don't! Please don't!
I wish you could remember something. A name, a face, an accent, anything.
I can't.
Can't just let it slide, Major. They don't have any right to live.
There's a storm brewing in this man. They took his arm. They took his family. And his soul. His anger is building, and it's going to explode. Now, from Paul Schrader, the author of Taxi Driver, comes a new and shattering film about a man poised on the brink of violence. Rolling Thunder, starring William Devane as Charles Rain. He has a purpose. He has a plan. It's only a matter of time.
I found them.
Who?
The man who killed my son.
I'll just get my gear.
There's the four that came into my home, and there's eight or ten of them.
Let's go clean them up.
Rolling Thunder.
We're back.
Hoo-ah!
With more showdown in Little Tokyo.
Okay, so Judgment Day is where we take a look at how this movie was received by the world around us. Not too many people saw this movie when it came out, but seems like people have caught up with it, probably on Gritty VHS, because we got a lot of five-star reviews out there on the internet.
Hell yeah.
We're looking at what the people, the salt of the earth, think about this movie. We're going to give you a little bit of the good, a little bit of the bad, you know, overall, the viewpoint.
You had some excited motherfuckers finding this, digging through the bargain bin at Walmart.
Oh, I bet this was a bargain bin mainstay, probably.
You know, 10, 11 at night.
Cool fucking, like,
being
cover
like,
art of this
fuck
thing,
yeah.
Too.
Yeah, I'm like, going home watching this shit.
Doll fucking all crouched down doing his prey thing, and then Brandon above him, but they're all just superimposed over that huge fucking ripped-as-shit tattooed torso from the opening credits.
Yeah.
I think maybe the poster might be the best thing about this movie.
Yeah,
get that up on the wall here or something.
That'll be nice.
So first, let's dig in here a little bit of some people who dug this movie. Super dug it. I got a 5-bullet review right here.
Ooh.
From T. Coleman from Amazon.
Nice.
He says, Brandon Lee was a good actor, not a great actor. And if he still lived, I've got no doubt his mark in cinema history would be slight. Ouch.
Wow.
In this movie, he plays a straight man, prim and proper, to the loose cannon that is Dolph Lundgren. Not really. He barely shows up since it's Lundgren's movie, and he does what he does as well as he does. Pure popcorn, blood and guts actions. Show it to your kids. It's really that last line that sold it for me on this one. Like, I agree.
Especially after that line before it.
Yeah. This is the type of shit that my father was showing me when I was a kid, and I grew up great. I grew up fucking awesome.
Yeah.
So, T. Coleman, you got the right idea. Another.
He ain't a pussy.
Another 5-bullet review from Amazon. This one comes from user JY. He approaches it a little bit differently.
More like KY.
A little bit differently. He says, the scene in which Japanese-American actor Kari Hiroyuki Tagawa, who also played the father in the children's TV series Johnny Tsunami, and the actress playing a smoking hot blonde drug addict engage in sexual foreplay with a katana blade was actually very hot in a cheesy yet very original and sexy sort of way. Totally worth the viewing just for that scene. 5 bullets. JY from Amazon.
I'd just like to state, JY, that Johnny Tsunami was a Disney Channel original movie and not a television series.
Agree to disagree. This guy sounds like he knows about what's sexy and what children programming is out there. Well, I'm going to take his word for it.
Well, you know, you can argue with the guy that, you know, spent many years scouting the Disney Channel.
Yeah.
And this would have been right in that.
But you didn't get as boned up as he did during that decapitation scene.
Because I was scouting.
He thought it was
15-year-old girls on the Disney Channel at the time.
That makes sense. So, you know, this is a little taste of the 5-bullet reviews there. You get a lot of them out there, but these people aren't the most articulate.
Yeah.
This is how it goes sometimes. The people who don't like the movie are the ones who have the most to say, Matt.
Huh.
So I got a couple of 1-bullet reviews here, too.
I like those, too.
And these people, They're a little more colorful. They got a little bit more strong opinions about old Showdown in Little Tokyo.
Yeah.
First one is coming from Mr. Lau from IMDb. He says, this is a lesson in bad movie making. I am a true fan of action films. A movie can be a thrill without a great story or cast.
Hmm.
I'm agreeing with him so far.
Mm-hmm.
That's all absolutely true. But this movie is one of the worst I have ever seen. Even if you turn off your mind, it still sucks. Here's why. The film has no story, just a lot of sex and violence scenes added together.
Man.
The action scenes are miserable, with ridiculous fight scenes. There are no real acting, just two guys trying to be so cool, and a bunch of bad guy wannabes and bimbos. These are complaints?
Yeah, what's,
like, sorry, I'm not on the same. It's a little bit more.
Here.
See if he gets us back here. Another annoying thing is all the stupid editing mistakes. In one scene, they zoom in on a screaming dummy, and the doubles are never close to resembling their characters. That's fucking true.
Hmm.
That's cool. And they crush that guy in the car. He just turns into a dummy. Loving it.
I didn't even notice that.
Oh, yeah. It's real bad.
Oh.
Who can possibly enjoy watching these crappy movies? The makers should be ashamed of themselves.
Hmm.
You hear that, Mark L. Lester? You should be ashamed of yourself.
He blames Warner Brothers. He thought his movie was cool.
That's probably true. Yeah. He was on board.
He started financing his own films after this because he never wanted to get bought out again.
Yeah, I read that too. Fucking, I had a beautiful baby here. Showdown a little too. Look at what you did to my baby.
Yeah.
This is the crown jewel right here.
Lay
this
it
is
on
the
me.
Best one I found.
Lay it on me.
This is a 1-bullet review from Spooky Cat 3000.
That's
from
a,
Amazon.
That's a cool name.
That's a Spooky Cat 3000.
Uh-huh.
Sounds like probably like a, you know, like a boned up goth chick, I'm thinking, from the content we got here. So let's get into it. How to improve this mess.
Wow.
1, Brandon Lee would be the main hero with Dolph being the big guy sidekick. 2, Brandon is the one with the big penis and gets the girl, thus subverting expectations concerning Asian men.
Okay.
3, Tia's character will still get kidnapped, but she would be a strong, spunky woman who likes to take no crap from anybody and even succeeds in thwarting her own rape when she's held captive, thus showing she's
different from her raped, decapitated best friend. She gets plenty of lines and is clever. She may even contribute to the fight, at least from the sidelines, and even gets to take down a few goons with that rifle she's given.
That's not what women did in 1991, but
shotgun, anyways.
Continue.
Next point. The above would make more sense when Tia has sex with the hero in the hot tub, since a victim of rape would not want any sex at all, and the guy would be our real hero, Brandon. Two more points here. There would be more women characters like sexy, dangerous, death-dealing Yakuza babes who are as vicious as the guys. There would be a female police chief who begrudgingly supports our two meatheads while facepalming at their violent idiocy. I like that part about Yakuza babes, but I don't know about a female police chief.
Yeah.
Has there ever even been a female police chief?
No.
Otherwise, it would still be the same violent blob of action silliness with stupid one-liners. Then the movie would be enjoyable for everyone as over-the-top, so-bad-it's-good action cheese. One bullet from Spooky Cat 3000, who's got a real, real wide white on for Brandon Lee, it seems like.
I guess so.
Should have been the one with the big penis, Matt.
I'm also thinking she'd never seen many movies from 91 or before.
Oh, yeah. She's got some real modern expectations for what these women characters are going to be doing.
I was going to say, that's not how you casted women back then,
no,
honey.
No, definitely not. They can't all be Charlize Theron with one hand and whatever she's got going on in that Mad Max movie.
Yeah.
Let's get into our judgments, man. I think you're probably going to like this one a lot because, you know, you've been over the moon this whole time we're talking.
Yeah.
Final thoughts in a bullet rating? What do you got?
I'm going back and forth on this. I realize,
tough.
After walking away from it last week, my 3.5 might have been a little strong on fighter power.
I felt like it was, definitely.
Just swept up in the excitement.
I felt it set a precedent.
Of not watching wrestling, you know. there's things I really, really like about this movie.
Uh-huh, sure.
It's runtime.
Ooh, 79 minutes.
There's nothing wrong with that. I cannot tell you how many times Little Lady and I discuss the lost art of the 90-minute movie.
You got to do it. And the older I get, the more I always just more and more looking at the runtime before I push play on anything, man.
I don't want to.
What is it?
I don't want to dedicate 2 hours right now.
Getting up to 2 hours? Yeah. Maybe not today.
Put that for another time. So they do it right that way. The action is phenomenal in this film. I love it.
Blowing up, the fighting.
You get a little bit of everything. Dismembered body parts. It's all there for you, man. Titties all over the screen.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, there's some negatives there with the
scrambled
acting.
Scrambled eggs all over my face.
The acting and the lack of a quote-unquote story.
Yeah.
All in all, I'm going to say it's enjoyable
because
it doesn't overstay its welcome. But, you know, it's got some glaring issues, and I guess that's why we're going to give it a 2.5.
You're going 2.5.
2.5.
You like this a whole star less than Firepower.
Well, I realize.
Are we going to redo the Firepower rating?
Firepower
here?
Probably should have been a 3 for me.
Okay, okay.
I did enjoy it. Okay. Maybe it was the newness of it, but Showdown Little Tokyo.
Made a lot of good points here. 2.5. 2.5. Okay.
I'm saying it's watchable.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think this movie is goofy and it knows it.
Mm-hmm.
It's disposable entertainment. It knows it. So it gets in, it gets out. Dolph's really good. I think this is probably his best acting role. Opposite that Creed 2 where he's playing grizzled old Ivan Drago, like that new shit. That's fucking good. Tagawa's great. Great fucking bad guy. Cool scar on his face. Very menacing. Tia Carrere's nudity was great.
Absolutely.
I love that. Action was very violent. Brandon Lee, I want to like the guy, but he was fucking annoying. He was annoying me through this whole movie, man. Yeah. It was definitely, didn't overstay its welcome, but also felt rushed. Characters were thin. I wanted a little more. Yeah. I wanted a little more bonding between these guys, you know? Some of that back and forth. Music was lame. Could have used some cool heavy metal.
Yeah.
I think really, like, if you get 11 more minutes of just, like, some character work and shit going on in here, this feels more like a legit movie. I'm saying, release Lester's 90-minute cut.
Let's see.
Release the cut. We got to get this going on out there. We got to get this fucking thing. I like this a little bit better than I liked Firepower. I'm giving it a solid 3 stars. Solid 3-star rating in here for Showdown in Little Tokyo.
Wow.
I think it mostly holds up.
Yeah.
And there's tits everywhere in it.
Yeah.
That's bumping up my rating for sure. For fucking sure.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
Okay, we did it. Solid second outing for this action movie thing. Really enjoying myself watching all these like boobs and bullets.
Having a good time.
Yeah, for sure. So let's come back next week. Let's do it again.
Okay.
What do we got going on? Oh, we're going gritty 70s next week.
Okay,
so all
right.
We got some goofball shit coming up, so we're gonna hit you with a lowdown dirty one. One of the many Vietnam vet comes back and gets in some trouble movies that were coming out in the 70s.
Always good.
Always very good. So watch out for that here on Baby Oil and Blow. Where we say what, Matt?
Stay single.
It's a long road when you're on your own. And it hurts when they tear your dreams apart. Could use a friend.